so much for bringing Ben and Ashley home from Madagascar for these days. It's been wonderful. I'm so glad that she had the opportunity to spend a week with her family down in Arkansas. Her mom and dad are from Arkansas, and they came out to Arkansas, and she got to see several of her aunts and uncles and some of the grandparents. Ben lost a grandmother when he was in overseas. Ashley lost a grandfather while she was away, so they were glad to have that opportunity. And then it's been wonderful, of course, since about almost a week ago now that they came in and surprised us here. We have had a wonderful, wonderful time, and I really appreciate y'all doing that. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I think it was a good break for them. Been gone 3 years, just a few weeks from 3 years, and seen some things they'd never seen before, growing up in America. But God has blessed them and helped them and has prospered them, and it's been a blessing. And so he's gonna preach for us tonight. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope it's a blessing to you as well. And thank you again for bringing him home. It's been absolutely wonderful. We didn't think we'd get to see the little baby girl until she was about 2.5 years of age. But it's been so good to get to see her on all three of the little girls, and of course, Mom and Dad as well. The ladies are singing tonight. Come on, sing for us, ladies. That'll be a blessing. And when they're done, son, it's your time. Okay, bud. God bless you. All right, we'll enjoy this tonight.
Sunday night at Faith Baptist Church. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And since they called us in October, I'm looking forward to this. And we only had one Sunday here, and there's something special about Sunday night. I don't know if anybody else thinks that, but I do. And I love it at our church. Brother Caleb, I'll try to represent the college well tonight. I know we're outnumbered up here, but that's all right. Well, Larry assured me he'd be behind me tonight. He was hoping I'd picked up a little bit of soul in Madagascar since I've been there. And Brother Griffey, before the service, was giving Brother Bibbs a little bit of grief. Where's Brother Bibbs? There he is. I told him, I said, you should just come down there to Madagascar. We don't even let white people come to our church. And like, we don't even like white people down there. So, anyways, and it's good to be back. And I'm serious about Sunday night at Faith Baptist Church. I've enjoyed the U.S. I have really enjoyed it. Very much so. As a mom and dad, I've been living on Dr. Pepper and root beer. And I don't think I've hardly drank any water since I've been here. And it's been good to be back. In fact, Dad sent Leah and I, when we first got back to town, to Kroger to pick up some things. And about a half hour later, he calls and he says, are you guys okay? I said, yeah, we're getting ready to leave. And we came home, she said, Ben was worthless. He was gawking around the store the whole time. Whoa, look at this. And I was in one store. I was looking for something and I got done. And I was just looking around. I couldn't believe it. I was just looking. Lady comes to me, she said, can I help you find something? I said, no, I'm just looking. I said, did I look lost? She said, yeah, you did. So anyways, it's been good to be back. Just today, I enjoyed the choir. I hope you know you're a blessing to us. So we sang that song, It's Still the Blood, but the Garden I've Got You on CD. And when the choir sings that, and you sing that solo, and we've probably downloaded about 50 or 60 of the choir songs. I don't know about all of them. You know, we put them on CDs and play those things on the iPod and in the car and everywhere, and hear different people sing specials, and always hear Brother Caleb for sure on the Amen section. And it was right at home tonight. And you're a blessing. That's always a blessing to us. And I appreciate seeing how do I say this, old faces. I don't want to say that in the wrong way. Just to answer, some people have asked, yes, I do have a little bit of gray hair now. That's what moving to two different continents in 2 years will do to you. Having two different babies on two different continents and everything else. And but it is good to see people that were here over 20 years ago. And this is the 20th anniversary. And I just appreciate the church bringing us home. I'll say that again later. But we came here 20 years ago. There's a lot of people who are here tonight that were here then. And that's a blessing to see that. That's a real blessing. And it's good to see new faces. And there's a lot of new faces here. And that's a blessing. But I was just thinking today that I think one of the biggest blessings to me was seeing so many of my friends here. And that's a blessing to see people I went to high school with. I was so glad you guys, Joseph, you guys were in town. I didn't even know you were going to be in town. And that worked out. And seeing people who are just members here or on staff now here that were friends, that were childhood friends and so forth. And that's been a blessing. I don't know how to say thank you enough for the money that was given. That was a lot of money that was given. And a lot of money, especially in these times. And that was a real blessing. When Brother Jason and Brother Caleb called us, I could not believe that. It was just totally unexpected. And then he said, we're going to take it before the church and see what they think. And then he came back and said, well, we're going to do it. And that was a blessing. I appreciate it for the Jason. There you are. Thank you for all the work. And he was corresponding with all the emails and did a lot of work for us to come back. And I appreciate that very much. And this Thursday we'll be headed back. And as good as it's been here, we're ready to get back. And it'll be good to be back. And it'll be home. I came through Chicago this time. And I thought it was going to be, I was going to get there. And it was going to be, it just wasn't just funny. I don't know why. It was just funny. And so we got to the parking lot and there was honking and road rage, and I said, well, that's good to be back home. I guess that sounds like home. I do appreciate bringing us back home and so forth. And I told Ashley, I said, you know you live a long way from the U.S. We were coming back from the Cubs game. Someone gave us free tickets to the Cubs game on Thursday. And that was nice. That was a blessing to see them. Well, not to see them. To see Wrigley Field. But Cubs are a part of that. Cubs go with that deal. But we were driving back from the Cubs game, and I said, this time next week, we'll be on the plane. And then the next day, we went to Brookfield Zoo with the kids and stuff. And driving back from Brookfield Zoo, I told Ashley, this time next week, we'll be on the plane. I thought, oh, no, with three small kids. But it will be a blessing to get back. I'll just give a quick update tonight. Of course, many of you know, we left in August of 2007, end of August, I guess, in 2007, and we spent a year in France in language school, and then that's where Brindley was born. And then we, of course, went to Madagascar a year later, and we got to Madagascar September 16th of 2008, and since then we've been there, and we immediately started Malagasy language studies. And sometimes when you're going through language school, it's hard to just keep the end in sight. And for letters, what are you going to write back? Well, I spent, 45 hours in language study this week, and I am lost, and I don't know where I am, and I can't talk, and I don't know what's going on, but pray for us, and we're your missionaries that you're giving money to. I don't know. Next month, another month of language studies, and we're still lost, and we still can't communicate, but we're trying. Thanks for the money, by the way. I don't know what you're right, And anyways and so forth. I appreciate the so many of you that have stayed in contact and so forth, and have been encouragement. And even some missionaries, criticized, but told us not to waste our time and yada 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 and so forth. And but we did what Dad wanted us to do, and what Brother Tom Vineyard counseled us to do. And, we got to Madagascar in September 2008, and then started language studies. And then I went to the store to pick up, to look for an electrician. And I had major problems in the house, and so forth. And so I happened to get to a guy, and I said, I'm looking for an electrician. He said, well, I'm an electrician. And he said, I work here, and I'm the electrician here. And I said, well, do you know how to fix things? Because I've got major problems. And he said, I'll come, and so forth. And then he started coming to the Bible study that we held that was only in French. A few people. We didn't really invite a lot of people to come. We weren't really trying to push for people. We were pushing to learn the Malagasy language at the time. And I'll never forget when I approached him about salvation and so forth. And I sat down at his workplace and went there when he was on lunch break. And we have a two-hour lunch break over there, so that's the French system. And so it was a nice long time. I never forget, and some people I've asked, about the languages and so forth, and then I took him to the Bible, and I opened up my French Bible, and I told him, car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son fils unique afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point et qu'il ait la vie éternelle. John 3:16 in French. I think it's beautiful in any language. And he got saved and so forth. Now he never has gotten baptized. He still comes sometimes. I don't know exactly what's happened, but I can't look at the heart, but according to him, he got saved, and then, of course, we spent all that time in the Malagasy language, and I'll never forget sitting down in the home with Radu, in the church with Radu, in the home with his wife, and I opened the Bible up, and I told him, Fatuizal Nu ni tiavnangim an salt to luzel. Nu meni ni zanni lahi tukan. Bat siu veri izarech minuasi. Ba hanna fianin manjaki zai. Same verse, again different language. Beautiful, he doesn't speak French. And watched him get down on his knees at the church and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. Went back and won his wife to the Lord. Won people to the Lord a little bit time after that. And in last service in April, we had the first baptism service, and three adults went down in the water, and we found a lake, an old dirty lake, really. In fact, I wore a white shirt, and I still cannot. It's ruined. Ashley tried, and she scrubbed, and she bleached and everything, and it will not come out. That's how dirty it was. And they went into the water there. We baptized them. And we're anxious to get back and start to follow up. That was just right before we came here. And so we've had about between 15 to 21 coming faithfully. And now that we have some that are saved and baptized, it gives us something to build on, you know. And until you get that, you can't even really build. You can't even... I had seen people saved and make professions of faith, and I can't see the heart. But when you get them to get saved and follow the Lord and believers' baptism, then you can start to really try to build something. And we have not really been able to beat the bushes so far. I wish you'd pray for us. We're still working. When I get back, I'll still have to follow up on trying to get our new visas. I've spent a lot of time in the different ministries and state departments and so forth trying to get all that done. And it's still not, it's a long process, and I'll try to work on that later. Again, after finishing, and you know, and I appreciate all the prayers. I know it's been almost three years, and so far it doesn't seem like a lot, but learning two different languages, and I've used them both, and talking to people in French and people in Malagasy, and being able to witness and preach and so forth in both, it's taken a lot of time. And I appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate the emails. I appreciate the calls from time to time, the prayers that I know are prayed on our behalf, and I thank the Lord that we went through that time of language study, and we're looking forward to get back and to build on that, Lord willing. And I don't know when we'll be back for our furlough. We're supposed to come back in 2011, but it may be possible, but I don't really think it will be right now. It might be 2012. We'll just have to see what the Lord does with that. But appreciate you, and I wish you know how much we. I wish you could know how much we love each and every one of you, and I wish you could know the love that we have in our hearts for every one of you. I can't say it, and I can't express it. And it's an encouragement, you know, from the calls from adults to the letters that I get every so often from Brent Neimeyer, and little things he's made and stickers, and went to the Cubs game and they lost, and you know everything else. But it's a blessing. The blessing, and sometimes some other kids in the church and so forth get something from people, and we appreciate that. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update and on what we've been doing and what's been going on. We just moved last month, so we lost a lot of time in that, and you can lose a lot of time real easy over there. And but I think when we get back, we'll be able to get back at it, and we just appreciate you. Turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Excuse me, Ruth chapter 1. We'll start in the end of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. I'd like to apologize. I just don't have much time here in Bourbonnais. And I would love to just do everything with everybody and try to just to see everybody and everything. But we leave on Thursday, and we're going to do a little bit of shopping. I've already had some dentist work done. I can't escape the dentist no matter where I am. And we got some shots and doctor's checkups, and we're trying to get some things so we can take back and so forth. So, but it has been good to see everybody today and the church services. But if we can't get to someone, I apologize, but there's just not enough time with the time we have left. But we appreciate the thought. Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 22. Verse 22, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And now I want you to skip down to verse 19 of chapter 2. And of course, you know the story. I won't belabor all of that. You know the story very well. Verse 19 of chapter 2. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now skip down to verse 22, just for time's sake. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. And let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank you for the chance to be back at Faith Baptist Church. And what a blessing it is, and what an unexpected blessing. And Lord, the money that was given means a whole lot, but the love behind it and knowing the sacrifice it was to give it for us to come back and be a part. Not just a part, yes, the 20th anniversary for Dad being here, but also the church anniversary. Always a very special time. And I thank the Lord for the last 41 years that this church has been here. I thank you, Lord, for the last 20 years, and how it's affected my life, how it's blessed my family and myself. And I just thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for these people. And Lord, you know my heart. I don't want to try to impress anybody. I don't want to try to do anything other than, Lord, than just to preach what you've given me and what you've laid on my heart, and to be a blessing and encouragement and to all of us tonight, and to give all of us a challenge from your word tonight. And we'll be thankful to you, and all the glory will go to you for any good that comes of it. And we just pray this in Jesus' name, and amen. We just read the last part of Ruth chapter 1. You know the story very well. In fact, Dad not too long ago preached a message on what it means to be full. He talked about Naomi. She left full and she came again empty. And when Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem, Judah, to Bethlehem, they came all the people met them out there and said, is this Naomi? And she said, I have come back empty. Empty. Nothing. In fact, we don't know what she might have had, but the Bible does not even tell us if she had any belongings. If she had, you know, what all was in her possession. But she said, I came back empty. And so Ruth follows her. Now, you know, usually the bottom, empty, no one likes to be on empty. You know, like you either have your car on full and empty, you rather be in the first place in the division than down at the bottom and of the division, down there with certain teams. And no one wants to say, well, hey, I'll go with you. I enjoy being at the bottom. I enjoy being down and out, empty, nothing, and so forth. But here's Ruth, and she came back, and she was with Naomi. Now, in one chapter, from chapter 1 of verse 22 to chapter 2 of verse 19, in that length of time, I think it might have been one day. One day's events, her situation was changed. She was there empty. Nothing. And she went out to glean, and by the end of the day, Naomi was asking her, whose field were you in today? And you know, as I read this in my devotions not too long ago, I started thinking to myself, you know, there was one person that happened to Ruth, and that was Boaz. That, humanly speaking, that was the, he was the difference between chapter 1, verse 22, and chapter 2, verse 19. It was Boaz. And the Bible says she went to glean, she went to the field, and she landed in his field. And you know what? And here's the whole thought of the message tonight, basically, what God spoke to my heart about was, you know, I want my field, if you will. I want my territory, I guess you could call it. I want my life to be a field that God can send people to be changed, to be helped. I can't control someone else's field. Boaz, he only had control of his land, but he couldn't control anybody else's. But when Ruth came across his field, she left different than when she came. And I want, you know, I think who in this building tonight would not want their life to be a life like that? Whoever, a life that God could bring someone across our path, bring them into our life to be helped, to be changed. Who wouldn't want Faith Baptist Church to be a church that God could send people? You know, we can't control what goes on in any other of the, who knows how many churches in the world. But we, as members of Faith Baptist Church, can control what happens in this field. And who wouldn't want God to be able to bring someone to this church, to this field, to have their life change? And so I just want to look at Boaz being the human instrument that God used. I want to just look at three simple things tonight from this passage about Boaz. It's just very, very simple, but I stay simple. So over there in Madagascar, we go real simple. And we go slow, we move slow, we talk. I learned that right away when I was soul winning, you know. You got to go slow and simple, and that's the best way. So that's what we'll do tonight. Number one, we're going to notice three things tonight. Number one, Boaz was friendly. Boaz was friendly. Now look at chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Look down in verse 13. This is Ruth speaking. She said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid." You know, what I see, when I read verse 4 and verse, and you know what I see someone who, very basic, again, very simple, was simply friendly. And God's people should be friendly. Now, we don't always feel like being friendly. I don't know about you, but there are days when I don't want to be friendly. There are days when I want to be the exact opposite of friendly. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to look at anybody. And get on the road, you know, "You're not getting in today. You know, yesterday you would have, but today, no way." Not getting in front of me. And get in merging wars and all that, you know, and so forth. But you know what? God's people should be friendly. A lot can happen out of simple friendliness. Seriously. And you know what? Think about it. Now there's a restaurant in Madagascar that we like. Well, I have several that I like. I like one that's right under our Bible study service, and Ashley won't eat there with me, but I call it the Malagasy version of White Castle. But that's all right. It's good. I like it. You can get a bowl of rice and a little bit of vegetables and meat, a little bit of green soup, and what else? Maybe that's it. For about a dollar. So you can't beat that. Add a ice cold Coke out of a bottle, and you can't beat it. But there's another place we like, and one place, and the first thing that hit us when we went to this restaurant was how friendly the people were. I mean, they came in, "We're glad you're here," and all this stuff, "and find your seat. Let's take your kids. We're going back there," and hell holding the baby, and "Can we wash the pacifier if it falls? Can we go take the kids out to the playground and play them and get the food and everything else?" And you know what? We went back there, and people will attract to a friendly spirit, a sweet spirit. People will come back to a church that's friendly. People will look twice at a friendly smile. Or, you know, we should not pass people, or at least, you know, as we go out in our day to day activities, and we should be full of hellos, we should be full of how are yous, smiles and whatnot, and so forth. You know, I played basketball on Sunday afternoons. In Madagascar. That'll stop once we hear pretty quick once we start the evening service, and I'll have to move it to Saturday, Brother McDonald. But for right now, we don't have we just have the one in the morning, and I play basketball when I come home. We have the internet service at night. We listen to Faith Baptist choir and message. But if your mind is just on you, it's hard to be friendly. And I can remember. The first time, you know, you get around speaking, you start to speak a new language, and it's real easy when you're in the classroom, and you know, and you're surrounded by 13 other Americans who can't speak a word either. I mean, I can remember that's easy, but then you got to get out of the classroom, and then you got to actually start putting it into practice. And you sound like Tarzan, you know? Me, Tarzan. You, Jane. I mean, you think I'm funny, but I mean, you go out and you know, and I can remember in France, I remember walking down the halls and walking down the town in France and thinking, oh, please don't say hello to me. Please do not say hello to me. I mean, don't say hello. Don't smile. Don't look. Just please, because if you say something to me, I'm going to have to respond back, and I don't want to do that. But then you start getting a little bit more confident and so forth, but then you get around the group when there's a group of people, and that's the worst, and I started playing basketball with the guys, and I was not sure myself, I was not confident, and I would go and I'd sit by myself, I wouldn't say anything, I wouldn't say one word to anybody, you know, besides maybe a simple hello, I just sit there, and you know, as long as I did that. That's the way it stayed. But as soon as I did, there was one day I decided, you know what? If I sound like an idiot, I sound like an idiot. I'm gonna, you know, they're gonna know one day or another. So you know, as soon as I jumped out of that, I mean, those guys were practicing their English, you know, with me, you know, in your face, you know, they would tell me that, you know, and all this stuff, you know, and I like Michael Jordan. You know, they would say that. You know, you're from Chicago. And it just changed everything. And you know what? I have about 25 friends at one time. Because you have a lot of friends if they pay on your money. If you play on your money. But, but you know, I have, when I go back, I have they all, I saw them. I couldn't play the last Sunday before we left because I was busy. And I was going down the road. And they're all coming back from basketball. And they stop and they wave. Hello, how are you? And you know what? What made the difference? Me deciding, okay, today I'm going to forget about Ben. I'm going to forget about, you know, me looking stupid or me looking like a baby or whatever, speaking like a baby. I'm going to forget about me, and I'm going to try to break the ice. I'm going to be friendly. And I have friends back there because of that. You know, it may be a little thing, but when they get back, they're going to be the first candidates for, you know, my first targets for witnessing. And, you know, and it's so fun. Fun because Ashley, she started teaching English or helping. There's already some English classes in this little school on our road, and she started not teaching English, but they already had English classes, and she started going and just helping them, giving them practice time and whatnot and so forth. And she was doing that once, twice a week. She'd go there and she'd get on those kids and so forth. And then she about time to have the baby, and she told me, okay, you gotta take over for me. I thought, oh man. I do not want to go to this school and spend 30 minutes with, what, 3 to 5 year olds, the first 30 minutes, and then the bigger kids in the next 30 minutes. You know, what do I say? You know, you got your pictures, you know, Apple, or, you know, whatever, you know. And, man, I got in there, and those kids, I walked in the room, they all stood up, you know, and I said, hello. They said, hello. You know, they say, because their language is like that, hello. And, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. You know, and they're all standing there, and just big smiles, and they don't have anything materially speaking. They're poor. They eat rice 3 times a day. But man, they're excited. And they're standing there, and they're in smiles. Man, we had a blast. I couldn't wait to go back the next week and be with them. We sang. What did we sing? We sang different little kids, you know, actually junior church songs, really, that had motions and simple things and so forth. And they loved it. And now we drive down our road, and whenever school's getting out here, they're all coming in their uniforms and everything. And hello, how are you? You know, I'm fine, thank you. And they don't know much, and you know, but we have friends. You know what? Simple friendliness will go a long, long way. It really will. I know it sounds trite. You say, well, you know. Well, wasn't Jesus called the friend of sinners? What, didn't he come down and befriend sinners? Yes, he did. And you know, Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ, a picture in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that Jesus befriended us? I am tonight. Number two, I see that Boaz was gracious. Boaz was gracious. I want you to look at verse 2, first of all. Verse 2 of chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess, excuse me, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. Now let's get this now. After him in whose sight I shall find grace. She was looking for a field where she was going to find some graciousness. The Bible says, now look at verse 10. This is after Boaz tells her, hey, stay in this field, and the men won't touch you, and you know the story and so forth. You can stay here and so forth. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. You know, I read these verses, especially verse 11 and 12, and it talks about leaving your father and your mother and the land of your nativity and going to a strange place. And you know what? 3 years ago, I would have read that and said, yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, yeah, she did that. But now, I know what shoes she was in. I know what it's like to be a stranger. I know what it's like to go to a place and you don't speak one word of their language. Mrs. Thomas, I couldn't even say bonjour. I couldn't even say it. And you were doing better out than me out there when I first went there. And I couldn't even say one word. I know what it's like to, you know, and I know what it's like to get on the plane without a return ticket. And that's different than going when you have a return ticket in your hand for 2, 3 weeks, a month, or whatever. I know that that's different. I can remember leaving Chicago and so forth. And I can remember shaking on the plane. I mean, I was supposed to be the strong one, the man. You know, I got this wife and baby, and they're nervous and they're, you know, scared, and I'm gonna, you know. And I can remember just shaking and thinking, oh, what are you doing? And everyone and their mother wants to come to America, and you live here, and you're leaving, you know. And I can remember thinking that, and I can remember getting to Madagascar, to France, and I can remember just being lost. I mean, lost. I can't tell you how lost. Helpless. You know, when you can't communicate with someone, you can't do anything. You can't get anything across, and so forth. And then I can remember going to landing in Madagascar. And I can remember the missionary family that welcomed us and then helped us out and so forth, and were a blessing to us. And then 2 months, and 2 months later they left. They had to go back to the States, and we were left alone, alone. And we were 10,000 miles away from home, and we were trying to get settled in a place that is crazy. And then I remember the first Christmas we had there, it was alone. First, everything, it was alone and so forth. And then the crisis broke out. And all this stuff and people killing and dying, and they were burning and they were in the streets and so forth. And didn't know what was going on, didn't really, and so forth. And I can remember, stocking up food. And I was coming out of the grocery store when the grocery store was finally open. And I had two carts. I mean, loaded. I mean, I couldn't even fit everything in the two carts. It was coming out the top, on the bottom, everything. And I was coming out. And I was coming out of the store after I was paying and pulling my two carts, because I didn't, they had told me last time they had a crisis, it lasted for 6 months, and everything was shut down, banks. And so you're trying to think, do I stock money up for 6 months and hide it and hope no one comes? Or do I leave it in the bank and hope the bank doesn't close? Just so many questions going through your mind as being brand new and not knowing anything and so forth. And what do I do? How do I act? And so forth. We had a Malagasy couple that befriended us, and they were the other missionaries' neighbors, and they were standing in a line out there, and they saw me come through the doors of two carts, and I can remember his wife, and she was just looking at me. I could just see it in her eyes, poor soul. I could just see it. I probably looked like scared, and and so they called us up and they said, we're going to come over tonight, they brought some things, like not even saved, but they came over and they sat down and talked to us, and this is happening, and this is what you do, and don't go here, and don't, watch for this, and so forth. And they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to befriend us. They didn't have to be kind and gracious to us, but they were. And it made a difference to someone who was a stranger. And I was studying this a little bit. Ruth was a stranger, not only a stranger, she was a Moabite, descendant of Lot's drunken and incestuous relationship with his daughter. And Moab and Israel had a history, didn't they? Balak and Balaam and so forth. And then, and actually, somewhere in this time frame, Eglon, the king of Moab, who oppressed the Israelites for 18 years, her king, her people, her country, went in and ruled the Israelites. And so here's Boaz, an Israelite man. Okay? And whenever they had a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, Moab had food. Okay? So here's the nation of Israel and so forth in this area suffering and people hurting and so forth for during this famine. Actually, I may have got that wrong on how long the time frame it was, but anyways, there was a famine and so forth, and they went down, and I'm not sure how long it lasted, but so now, after the husbands die, and after they're left alone, they get word that now there's bread back in Bethlehem. It was a long time, we know for sure that. We know that for sure. And so, there's finally bread again. One would have to believe that there was a lot of Israelite people in need and suffering. And people who were Boaz's own kinsmen, if you own countrymen, who were in need. And so, here comes this Moabite lady to his field and starts taking his food. His enemy, a stranger, someone who was a part of a country, who belonged to a country where they had just oppressed the nation of Israel for 18 years. Now, come on, folks. Let's put the shoe on our foot. Someone comes and oppresses the U.S. for 18 years. And someone makes our life hard. and they have food while we don't have food. And so here now it finally starts to go again, and we're trying to help each other out and get and make sure we're all surviving and so forth, looking out for family and friends and whatnot and our own poor and so forth. And here comes an immigrant, if you will. And starts taking our stuff that we need. Or that my friend could use, or that my family member could really use right now. And Boaz could have kicked her out. He could have been ugly. He could have been mean-hearted. But you know, the Bible says that he accepted her. He was full of grace. He showed her favor. And you know, the opposite of gracious is harsh, hard, sharp, bitter. Could have been all those things. But instead, he accepted her, a stranger, and did that for her, and made a difference in her life by doing that. And you know, I know maybe some of you, I know what it's like. We had the crisis in Madagascar, and all that we were so new. Now we've learned a little bit how to live. I mean, if the store is shut down, there are some things that we might need and so forth. But we've learned how to live a little bit and so forth. And I mean, I buy a lot of things from little shops on the road and so forth. I buy from the open market. I have to be careful. There's certain vendors I buy from, and there's definitely early in the morning. That's the time that I buy and so forth. But you start to learn. But when this crisis happened, we had just been there. We hadn't really gotten out of the shell yet. We were just trying to get settled and get going. And so we were in the big store. We got groceries from the grocery store. That's pretty much where we were safe and knew it was okay. And plus, we had Brinley was not that old, and she was on formula. Well, the crisis hit in one day. Boom, just came, and everything shut down. Banks and stores, and there was a lot of stores that were burned in town, and things started disappearing and so forth. And it was stayed like that for several days, and I started getting antsy because, you know, some things you could do without, but I had to have baby formula. I mean, I know there's other things you can do and so forth, but Brenda needed her formula and so forth, and she's my baby. And so when I heard that the one store close to us was going to open back up, I went out there. And I got there early, and they had shut the gates and everything. You could see the store over there, but they had shut the gates to the parking lot and so forth. And I got there, and there was already a crowd that's kind of starting to gather. And so I got there early enough where I was standing right where I knew that gate was going to open up. Because I knew I needed to get in that store. I needed to get some stuff for our family and so forth, especially for the baby. And so I was right there. Well, then they didn't open the store. And they didn't open the store. And people kept coming. And people kept coming. And people kept coming. And there was a lot of people there and so forth. And it started getting around. And the manager came out, you know, and he came to that gate, and it started getting people. There was other people that were desperate, too. I don't want to say I was desperate, but I needed some baby food. And those people behind me, the Malagasy, they were for sure desperate, I think. And so... Or I guess, I don't know, anyway, if they were desperate or not. And so then he tried to open the gate, and they started, it pushed forward, and people started pushing and shoving, and yanking, and I thought, someone's going to go down, it's not going to be good. So he didn't open the gate, and he stepped back and said, please calm down, we're not going to open the gate, we're going to, you know, and so forth. And he tried to open it again, and it happened again. And you know what I started hearing? And someone behind me just pushed forward when he came to the gate, and almost went down. But there were some other guys right there close, some other white guys actually, who were there close, and we didn't go down and so forth. But it was getting a little bit rowdy, and so I don't know why I did this, but I just pushed forward. And so when I got my balance, I just pushed right back, you know, and just, you know, because I couldn't hardly stand up. And then I started hearing it, fuzza, fuzza, foreigner, foreigner. White foreigner, the guy with all the money, the guy who colonized our country, the guy who, you know, I'm not the one who did all this, you know, but the white guy that, you know, took us for slaves 100 years ago and they haven't forgotten. I'm not trying to be whatever, but, you know, that, you know, it's still, when times get rough, I can start hearing it. You get all the money, and you're here, and you're the first one in line, and all this stuff. And it was not a real friendly spirit. And can I say, maybe in the U.S., I felt that, and that day and so forth, and you know what, as times continue to get in the U.S. and so forth, it may get desperate here. I don't know. It may come to a point here where there is some of that and so forth. This is ours. This is mine. This is, I was, born here, if you will. This belongs to me. And so am I trying to, be mean or whatever tonight. But Boaz, could have had all of those emotions running through him. I don't know if he did or not. But he saw a stranger in need of something. And he was gracious, the Bible says, to her. And didn't have to be, but he was. You say, well, how does this apply to me? I don't know how this, he was friendly, he was gracious. Well, let's look at this issue of graciousness real fast. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says there, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter's writing, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the who? To the strangers. Okay, so he's writing to the strangers. Now let's look at chapter 2 and verse 1. He tells them, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. For time's sake, let's skip down to verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. For time's sake, let's skip down to verse number 21, for the sake of time. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. You know what that tells me, church? That tells me that there was a time when Jesus Christ was gracious to me. I was not a Jew. I was not in his family. I was not in his chosen people. And you as well, being a Gentile, we were sinners. We deserved nothing. And Jesus Christ was gracious to us when he didn't have to be. He was gracious. Didn't have to give us his grace. Didn't have to. Didn't have to pardon our sin. But he did. And then, number 3 tonight, and this is won't be long. Number 3, this is very simple. Boaz, he was friendly, he was gracious, and number 3, he was thoughtful. Go back to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 3. Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 14. Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. I like what he said. He said, reproach her not. After he was friendly to her, after he was kind, generous and gracious to her, he was thoughtful. And he said, let some of this stuff fall down. And by the way, don't shame her when you do it. Don't shame her. Don't. She's come out here. She's worked hard. I believe what I mean. She's working hard. She's trying to make a living. Don't shame her. Don't, come out there and make a, wow, you're poor, okay, here's some taking your back. No, he said, just kind of let it fall as she gleans. She's not on, she doesn't want to be on welfare. Don't shame her. Don't reproach her. And he said, but it was thoughtful. And here, she's going to need a little extra. She doesn't have anything. She's going to need a little extra. And you know what? Sometimes we get so focused on us, and we forget just simple thoughtfulness of others. And let's all be reminded tonight about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. If you want to, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame. And then the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Then He goes on to say, let us go forth unto Him. You know what happened? When Jesus went without the camp to die on the cross, He bore my shame. He took upon Himself my shame and my reproach so I wouldn't have to bear it. He rendered me clean and perfect before God the Father. And it was because He took upon Himself the shame and the reproach. He not only was a friend to me, He was gracious to me, and He took my shame. And now when I stand before Him, He doesn't see any of it. Pardoned, clean, forgiven, and I'm in the family. Like Ruth came into Boaz's family. Didn't have to take the shame, but He took the shame and reproach. You know, I'm done tonight. But I look around this room, and you know what? If a lot of us are honest, I couldn't help but thinking, you know, there was a time in high school when people in this church were friendly to me. There was a time when people in this church were friendly to some of you sitting out there tonight, too. And people in this church were gracious to us. And when we were ready to come back, they welcomed us back into the family. Just like when Jesus welcomed us into His family. There was just sinner, okay, you call on me, you've got the whole package. People were gracious in this church to a lot of people. But some of us for sure. And you know what? People could have been sharp and hard and bitter and all of that. They were gracious. And they just come back in or whatever. And you know, there are always going to be people who are in need of something. I don't know what it is. But I really believe if I can control my field, I want it to be I want to be friendly. I want to be gracious. I want to be thoughtful. And I think that those qualities, although simple they may be, would be good for this church too. Lost and saved alike. Because Jesus was friendly to us. He was gracious. And He bore our shame. You know, we came to Him. He didn't make us stand without and hold over our heads. He just took the shame and He welcomed us into the family. Don't see anything. And so that's what we received when we came into His field, if you will. And I want the same thing. I want my life to be the same way. Let's bow our heads tonight and pray. Lord, I thank You for this service. I thank You for this time. I thank You for Faith Baptist Church. And I pray that the message was heard tonight. I pray that it was a blessing. And Lord, I know it was simple, but sometimes the simple things get forgotten or whatnot. And so Lord, I pray that You would take the words that were spoken from Your book, and I pray that they would have spoken to hearts. And Dad, if you want to come for the invitation.
good reminder for a church like this one. Remember Jack Howe saying in college that if my position offends people, I can't help that. But shame on me if my disposition offends people. When you take a strong stand on the truth of God's Word, you have to soften that with friendliness and graciousness and thoughtfulness. And that has made a lot of difference in people's lives, and it will continue to. And as he said, somebody did that for you. Somebody did that for me. I think all of us could probably use a little bit of extra dose of that. A little bit of graciousness, a little bit of thoughtfulness, a little bit of friendliness can go a long way. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Give us the Lord leads tonight. Maybe God would help you have a field that makes a difference in somebody's life.